Now, as we continue in this series that I mentioned on Ephesians, I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm continuing the scripture that we read a little bit earlier in verse 10. Paul said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." How strong are you in the Lord? How strong are you in the Lord? Let me ask you this. How mighty is your God? Long before Paul wrote those words to the Ephesians, God gave us some very similar teachings throughout the Bible. For instance, Moses. He was intimidated by what God asked him to do with the Egyptians. And God said this to Moses in Exodus 4, verse 21. God said, "Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do." God is your source of power. How mighty is your God? Later on in this story, the 10 plagues had already happened with the Egyptians, and Moses quoted God to Pharaoh in Exodus 9, verse 15, and this is what God had to say through Moses. God said to Pharaoh, "For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off of the earth, but I have spared you for this very purpose, that I might show you my power." How strong is your God? How mighty is your God? It's no wonder that Paul said to us in Ephesians, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." We could talk about Samson. We could talk about David. We could talk about many others, but let's talk about God. 1 Chronicles 29 that we read earlier that the choir sang, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Your hands, in your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." Do you need any strength? "In his hands is the power to give strength to all." Do you believe God is powerful? I'll bet everybody in here would stand up with a resounding yes and amen. I believe it. Well, how does that influence your life? What do you do with it? How do you live because he's a powerful God? Especially when you're faced with life's challenges. Don't raise your hand. How many are faced with life challenges? What do you do with this powerful God that's behind you, before you, under you, around you, above you, when you are faced with life challenges? Here's another question. Do you tell other people that God is powerful? Listen to Psalm 71, verse 8. "Even when I am old and gray," wake up, look around. "Even when I am old and gray," only your hairdresser knows for sure. "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, until I declare your power to the next generation. Your might to all who are to come." I'll ask you again, do you tell people about the power and the might of God? Luke 9, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. I want to read that passage again, but I want to read it with substitution of some key words in that passage. When Jesus had called covenant fellowship together, he gave us power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent us out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Do you agree with that? I suspect that everybody in here would at least say yes, maybe not with the same certainty that you said God is powerful, but I believe you would say yes. Do you really think God wants you to be that kind of Christian? Do you really think God wants you to be that kind of church? Then what are you going to do about it? Basketball season had finally arrived. and the boys' high school basketball team came to their first practice. And the coach said, "Suit up, boys." They suited up and they came into the court. And he said, now, he gave each a basketball. He said, "I want you to go to different places on the court where you think you might be in the game. And I want you to shoot some basketballs into that basket." So the boys scattered around. But one of the players there that day was a substitute player. He was player number 12. And so with a smirk on his face, he went over and sat on the bench. And he started throwing basketballs from the bench. And all the other high school boys started giggling. They thought that was really funny. The coach did not think that was very funny at all. Here's the point. There are so many people who think that life is a game. And they just want to sit on the bench and watch it go by. They've become so used to sitting on the bench that they think that's where they should be. They never strive to do much more than that. In fact, some of them don't believe they can do much more than that. Am I talking to anyone in here? Some people think they can't do any more than that, so they don't put out any effort whatsoever. They are spectators in life and not doers. In the same very disappointing way, too many Christians have made Christianity into a spectator sport. They just do what they need to do. They come to a worship service. Check. They listen to the songs. Check. Maybe they sing some of them. Check, check. They listen to another sermon. Check. But they never really get involved. They're just spectators. Wake up, brothers and sisters. Christianity is not a spectator sport. And life is not a game. Wake up. Just as the coach told the boys to suit up, Paul said that we should get suited up for what comes next. Ephesians 6, verse 11. You know this one? You should memorize this one. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can do what? Take your stand. Say it. Put on the full armor of God so that you can... I don't hear you. So that you can... Against the devil's scheme. Now that is the opposite of being a spectator. Wake up. That is the opposite of being a spectator. Do you believe in the devil? Brothers and sisters, if you do not believe in the devil, you have surrendered to his greatest deception. Because he does not want you to believe in him. He wants you to be blind and deaf and dumb when it comes to his very existence and the influences that he can have on your life and on the lives of your loved ones. Back to Paul. Put on the full armor of God, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Those words, rulers and authorities and powers, they all refer to a giant organization of the demonic. They refer to a vast array and different classes of evil, malicious spirits who are wanting to make war with the people of God. And if you do not believe in them, again, you have surrendered to the great deception. The devil does not want you to believe in them either. He does not want you to believe that they can influence your life today. He wants you to believe that that was written long time ago and it only affected people. It doesn't affect us today. We're enlightened. Oh, that's the devil's lie. That is the devil's lie. He does not want you to believe that they can influence your life. This passage is not isolated in the Bible. This passage talking about the hierarchy of the demonic world occurs six times in God's Word. Six times. And we could spend the rest of this hour and far more on demonology. If you are not already convinced that this is real, I may never convince you. But listen, I have studied it. I have experienced it. And I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever. But having said that, let's move to the meat of this passage. Let's get to the good stuff. Verse 13, therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, ask yourself what it is therefore. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Say it. So that you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. When Paul wrote that, he was chained to a Roman soldier. And he probably did exactly what Jesus Christ did. He took the circumstances that he could see and touch and he understood, and he made an illustration out of it. Put on the full armor. See, a Roman soldier would never go out of his house without the full armor on. Never do that. A good Roman soldier would always be dressed for battle. A good American soldier would never go onto the battlefield wearing shorts and a t-shirt. He would suit up. Paul said, get dressed for battle. When? Hello? When do you get dressed for battle? When? Well, when you go out into the sun, you put on sun lotion. When do you put it on? Before you go out into the sun, idiot. Okay? So you've got to get dressed up for battle before the battle comes. That's when you suit up. And guess what? You put it on you. Nobody else can put your armor on you. Nobody else can put your defenses against the devil on you. You! 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 I feel like a Baptist today. Let's pound this pulpit. I'm all excited. You! You need to wake up. You need to suit up. And you need to stand firm. And you need to put on all of the armor. If you leave an opening, the devil will go right for it. He's looking for that weakness. He's looking for that opening. Put on the full armor of God. Verse 14. Stand firm then. How many times does he have to say it? Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckle around your waist. Do you know what the belt does? It holds everything in place. Truth holds everything in place. If you want to win, brothers and sisters, you have got to gird yourself with truth and honesty. Truth and honesty about you yourself. An honest inventory of you yourself. And honesty with God about your walk with Him and who you see that He is. And honesty with one another. Honesty in the fellowship of God. The belt of truth. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now the breastplate protects the heart. And your heart is your most vulnerable place in your body. We're not talking about the muscle that pumps blood. We're talking about what the Ephesians would have understood very, very well. You see, the heart is considered to be the center of your emotional, your intellectual, and your moral activities. And we use that term the same way today. Do you remember that very condemning scripture in Jeremiah 17:9? It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The devil knows that. The devil knows that. And the devil can cloud your vision by working on your heart. You become extremely vulnerable to all sorts of temptations when that happens. And to all sorts of bad behavior. You can go into the wilderness like Rob talked about. You can become an expert at rationalizing your behavior when the devil works on your heart. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Protect your heart. Now, here's something very interesting about that breastplate. It also covers your back. And all of us know what it feels like to have the devil sneak up from behind. That's his favorite approach, to surprise you from the rear. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and with your feet. I can imagine what Paul was looking at that Roman soldier. You've seen it in biblical plays and movies. You've seen it. He says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Have you ever been on a vacation trip where you had to walk a lot? You know how important good walking shoes are to protect your feet. Well, now take yourself into battle. Do you want to wear flip-flops? No. You want to be fitted with readiness. You need the full force of the gospel of peace, if you're going to stand upright and stand firm. Are you with me? Are you still with me? I haven't finished. Listen. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. A shield literally deflects flaming arrows and rocks and stones and spears and far more. Spiritually, it deflects all those deceptively little things that will hurt you, that will discourage you, that will distract you, that may maim you, that may even kill you. The shield is made of faith. As the Apostle James told us, the testing of our faith produces what? Endurance. The testing of our faith produces endurance. And Jesus told us, our faith can make us whole, he said. Faith is more than just a belief in God. I might need to say that again because there may be people for whom that's new. I don't know. Faith is not just a belief in God. Faith is placing your trust in God. You may have memorized all of the Apostles' Creed, and you can say it forwards and backwards without looking, but that doesn't matter unless you put your trust in what you are saying you believe. Even the demons believe. But they don't act on that belief. They react to that belief. They react to everything related to God. Paul goes on, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now the helmet obviously protects the head. The devil loves to mess with our head. Doesn't he? He loves to mess with our head. And he will succeed if you do not have the helmet of salvation firmly planted there as your protection. And finally, the sword is not there just as a weapon. The sword is a weapon, but it is God's holy word. 2 Timothy 4, Paul said, I have fought. I have fought the good fight. Some of you right now are fighting. You're in the middle of a battle. Paul said, I got it. I understand. I have some encouragement for you, so listen to what I have to say. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Woo! Now I see a picture. You see it? The crown of righteousness. That's God's reward for you, brothers and sisters. When you fight the devil, you will win. You will win if you put on the full armor of God. You will win if you are strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. You've heard of a military job called a supply sergeant? Well, here's something that should build your confidence. God is the supplier of all that armor that He tells you to put on. He is your supply sergeant. The Almighty, the all-powerful God gives you all of that. He is your source. Now, Paul concludes with this verse, 18. And pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit. Ask yourself this question. How important is good communication to an army in battle? It is absolutely critical. Military historians will tell you that some lesser armies won some battles because their communication was better than the opposing superior army. Communication is a precondition for action. Communication is a must for victory. And in the spiritual battles that you and I face, communication is prayer. Prayer in the Spirit. Prayer is communication with the commander-in-chief. It is the precondition for action, and it is a must for your victory. Don't forget, however, prayer goes in two directions. Prayer goes to God, and from God to you. Prayer is communication with God. Two ways. Now, let's close all this. I'm going to ask you three questions, and I'm going to urge you to chew on these questions and digest these questions. Remember, honesty with yourself. Number one, is your armor in good shape or not? Number two, is your sword of the Word of God sharp and ready? Or do you need to work on that? And number three, do you have an open line of communication with the master strategist and with His mighty power? Suit up, brothers and sisters, and put on the full armor of God and look the devil in the eye and say, "Put up your dukes, Satan, because I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I hope and pray that my shouting, that my intensity got through to anybody who needs to know that You are the Almighty God, and they can and should turn to You for their strength and their power. And that we are in a spiritual battle, all of us, some more deeply than others. And I pray, Lord, that You will help us all remember to pull on the full armor that You provide and stand firm against the devil and all of his ways. I pray that in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the Almighty Jesus Christ. Amen. This hymn had better sound good after that. Stand up and sing.